This is Southern FM.
Southern FM.
Across Bayside Melbourne since 1990.
And now on the Space Show, we're going to be talking about Ronald McNair. He was born in 1950, October the 21st. Hey, that's 75 years ago. If he were still alive, he would now be 75 years old. Unfortunately, he died in 1986, January the 28th, in the STS-51L accident. That's when the space shuttle Challenger was exploded by a faulty solid rocket booster. So he's no with us no more. Well, lots of people remember him, and we're going to have a couple of little things about him and then some music. And we'll start with the music, which is called The Challenger, Opus 3, Number 2, Ronald McNair, Espressivo by Robert DiGustano. He composed this in 2013. It's a piano piece.
Thank you.
And that was Piano Piece by Robert DiGastano, written in 2013, or recorded in 2013. It's called The Challenger, and it celebrates Ron McNair, who died on the Space Shuttle Challenger and the STS-51L flight in January 28th of 1986. His brother recalls an early incident in Lake City, South Carolina, in the life of Ron McNair.
When he was 9 years old, Ron, without my parents or myself knowing his whereabouts, decided to take a mile walk from our home down to the library, which was, of course, public library, but not so public for black folks, okay, when you're talking about 1959. So as he was walking in there, all these folks were staring at him because they were white folk only, and they were looking at him and said, you know, who's this Negro? So he politely positioned himself in line to check out his books. Well, this old librarian, she says, this library is not for coloreds. He said, well, I would like to check out these books. She says, young man, if you don't leave this library right now, I'm going to call the police. So he just propped himself up on the counter and sat there and said, I'll wait. So she called the police and subsequently called my mother. Police came down, two burly guys come in and say, well, where's the disturbance? And she pointed to the little nine-year-old boy sitting up on the counter. He says, man, what's the problem? So my mother, in the meanwhile, she was called. She comes down there praying the whole way there. Lord Jesus, please don't let them put my child in jail. And my mother asked the librarian, what's the problem? Well, he wanted to check out the books. And you know your son shouldn't be down here. And the police officer said, you know, why don't you just give the kid the books? And my mother said, he'll take good care of them. And reluctantly, the librarian gave Ron the books. And my mother said, what do you say? He said, thank you, ma'am. Later on, as youngsters, a show came on TV called Star Trek. Now, Star Trek showed the future where there were black folk and white folk working together. Right. And I looked at it as science fiction, because that wasn't going to happen, really. But Ronald saw it as science possibility. Mm-hmm. You know, he came up during a time when there was Neil Armstrong and all of those guys. So how was a colored boy from South Carolina wearing glasses, never flew a plane, how was he going to become an astronaut? But Ron was the one who didn't accept societal norms as being his norm. I mean, that was for other people. And he got to be aboard his own Starship Enterprise.
In 2011, the broadcasting company CBS in the United States remembered Ron McNair.
The shuttle program, as you at home know, has brought about incredible gains for this country, expanding not only the knowledge of the universe, but also the technology, many things we use every day, and for many people, their dreams. But that has not come without a cost. Two disasters have claimed the lives of 14 astronauts over the past three decades. Their passion to explore is what fueled the space program. And in their sacrifice, they have left a legacy of inspiration, as CBS News correspondent Michelle Miller reports.
One small step for man.
Lift off of Space Shuttle Atlantis.
In 50 years, the American space program has achieved unimaginable success.
It's different, but it's very pretty out here.
Shuttle Columbia fell to Earth
and suffered unspeakable loss. 14 astronauts in 134 space shuttle missions.
Liftoff of the 25th Space Shuttle mission, and it has cleared the tower.
On January 28th, 1986,
Challenger, go with throttle up.
Challenger, go with throttle up.
73 seconds after launch, Challenger exploded.
Obviously a major malfunction.
Shrouding every loved one watching in an aura of disbelief.
The feeling is indescribable. I can only say numb. Numb.
Carl McNair's little brother, Ron, was one of Challenger's seven crew members. At 35, it was his second mission in space.
That, no doubt, was the saddest day of my life.
Still very fresh.
Oh, yeah. It's etched in your brain. It's something you never forget.
We remember Ronald McNair. His dream was to live aboard the space station, performing experiments and playing his saxophone in the weightlessness of space. Well, Ron, we will miss your saxophone, and we will build your space station.
But Ron McNair's story, which began here in Lake City, South Carolina, isn't just one of tragedy, but triumph. The tale of a precocious kid who grew up poor during segregation and overcame hurdle after hurdle to realize his dreams.
It's a story of, if you will, a real role model. And I think when you learn about other aspects of his life, you find that same kind of thing exists, you know, from the dedication that he had, the commitment that he had to his craft.
Gifted in both science and math, McNair graduated at the top of his high school class, went on to earn a bachelor's degree in physics, and his PhD from MIT. But that success almost didn't happen after he changed his major from physics to music his freshman year.
Ron had his first serious bout with self-doubt.
Thankfully, his advisor stepped in.
She found him out, tracked him down, hauled him back to the office. They told him just straight out, I believe that you're good enough. And that was the spark that it took. A little encouragement.
It went a long way. In 1978, he beat out nearly 10,000 other applicants to earn a spot in the U.S. space program.
You guys really look beautiful as you
eventually becoming only the second African American in space.
When you saw the first launch, you and your family were there.
Yeah.
Could you believe it?
We couldn't believe that. This didn't happen with anyone who came from my hometown. Here he was, and we had half the hometown there with us.
Six, five, we have main engine start.
And when they had the countdown and it went to zero and that shuttle actually launched, it's kind of like, wow, unbelievable. Unbelievable. It just gives me goosebumps just thinking about it.
That's my brother up there.
Yeah.
In this interview, McNair opened up about his love for NASA.
I'll just do what I've always done, pursue the job positively and confidently. And I feel like this job and I were sort of made for each other.
330 miles above the Earth.
Without ever knowing it, he inspired a generation of future astronauts, including a man 4 years his senior.
I'm here today because of Ron McNair. Had I not,
fellow South Carolinian Charles Bolden, who now heads NASA.
That was a defining moment in the space program. It marked a totally new generation of astronauts. It made the possibility of becoming an astronaut real for kids who probably would never have dreamed it before Ron became an astronaut.
The curtain now closes on an era of space exploration, but the legacy of Ron McNair and 13 other men and women lives on through the passion they held for our universe and the answers it may hold for those of us who remain here on Earth. Michelle Miller, CBS News, Lake City, South Carolina.
And the music we're listening to is Last Rendezvous by Jean-Michel Jarre in honor of Ron McNair. As you heard, he was to have played his saxophone aboard the Challenger during that 1986 STS-51L mission.